The question was asked, where may we make additions into Shmoneh Esrei? What is the system that's permissible? So Chazal told us that there is a format that was set up by the rabbis, Anshei Knesset Gdola, the men of the great assembly, and we have a rule, Kol HaMshaneh Mimatbeshet Taveu Chachamim Eino LaToeh. The Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch, and everyone writes that anyone who tries changing from the format that the rabbis set up is none other than mistaken. There's no room to change. But the rabbis told you, within the central format, you can add. Meaning, you have the intro three blessings and the final three blessings. Those three don't touch. Now, what's in the middle? So, Slach Lanu, Hashem forgive us. You want to, in the middle of Slach Lanu, you want to make a pause and say, Ribon Shel, I'm sorry I said Lashon Hara today. I shouldn't have spoken like this about so-and-so. I asked him for forgiveness, but now I'm asking you for forgiveness. Okay, you can add that. You want to say, Ribon Shel Olam, I shouldn't have said that to my parents. I apologize to them, but I also have to apologize to you. I regret it, and I won't do it again. So, okay, you can do that. Refa'enu, you want to make an addition and say, Ribon Shel Olam, please heal so-and-so. Ribon Shel Olam, please heal so-and-so. Okay, you can do that in the middle of Refa'enu. Chazal told us that within the central framework of Shmoneh Esrei, I'm allowed to make additions. First three, last three, I shouldn't change from the system Chazal set up. Here, there are opinions that say, we don't know how to make additions correctly, so save all your traditions for the end, either in Shema Koleinu, which is the blessing where you're asking, Hashem, please hear us for all the things we've just asked you, and there you could add whatever you want, or at the very end, Elokai Netzosho Nimira, before you say Yul Ratzon, you could add whatever you want, you could speak for an hour, and literally an hour, you could say everything you want there. So there are opinions that say that's more appropriate than sticking it in the middle. Fine. The Gemara says one, and then the Achronim say, well, maybe we don't know how to say things that well. Maybe it's better to leave it for then than not in the middle. Now, with regards to the first three and the last three, so Chazal gave us formats of additions. So in the 10 days of repentance from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, we do make additions in the first three. We do make additions in the last three, and those additions involve the needs of all of Klal Yisrael. They're not my personal desires. So the format I'm supposed to adhere to is say the blessings exactly how Chazal set them up. So I'm aware that someone asked me, I didn't know this, but I was made aware this past month that in South America, there are Sidurim that were printed by the Reform movement or the Conservative movement where they changed the first blessings. And that's a mistake. I mean, we're not supposed to do that. The format that Chazal gave us is the format that we're supposed to use. Now, you'll ask me, should I make a holy war and go tell everyone this is wrong? No, we don't make holy wars. Anyway, we save our holy wars for when they're really holy and really necessary. And I don't believe that this is really what's necessary, meaning if there are people who this is how they connect to God, so let's leave them with their mistake and work on building them, and then over time they'll understand that there's a better format. Meaning, we don't spend our time telling people, don't pray from that prayer book, because then they might not pray at all. So right now, if this is the only prayer book they know, because I was told in Brazil that this is the most widespread Siddur, so don't go fighting it, leave it. Let's educate people. When people will know more and understand more, then it will naturally evolve that they will say, hey, let me go back to the tradition and verify whether this is right. If the first thing I do is run up to a person and say, hey buddy, that's wrong, so he's lost what he has. There was once a girl that came to Rav Neria and said, I can't pray to God in the male tense, in Hebrew. I can't say Baruch Atah Hashem. I only can say Baruch Brucha At Hashem. Okay, I can't. Why should I pray to God as a male? I feel like this is male dominance. I can only talk to Hashem in female form. So Rav Neria understood that she was new to Judaism, and it was very hard for her. And from where she came from, she wasn't open to hearing another answer. So Rav Neria said to her, "You know, Shechina is feminine. So you can talk to the Shechina, and then you use your feminine terminology." So you're talking to the Shechina. Hashem is masculine, but Shechina is feminine. So pray like that. And that way, now you'll ask me in a class in Machon Meir, If a guy asks me, can I pray feminine, male? The answer is you pray the way our sages set it up. But when a guy's starting out or a girl's starting out, and right now this is a big issue for them, so we don't fight them. We say, start out this way. Fine. It's like Hillel told the convert. He said to him, fine. You know, you can accept only one Torah. There are two Torahs. You accept one. And over time, you'll understand that you should really accept the other one too. Meaning, we don't fight at the first step. When a person's coming to learn, we say, give them time, let them understand. If you try to explain it now, you lost them. So now, you don't fight it. You leave them, let them pray from that Siddur. That's fine. Let them over time learn that there are 613 mitzvot. Right now they think all the mitzvot are out to get them. You Jews, you know, you fanatics, you guys, everything. Like someone once told me, you're a chauvinist. I said, really, what does that mean? I'm a chauvinist. So he said, yeah, da, da, da. I said, but that's not what chauvinist means. He says, what does chauvinist mean? So I explained to him what the word chauvinist means. I said, he said to me, you're a chauvinist. I said, the truth is, if you knew what chauvinist meant, then I wouldn't mind you calling me a chauvinist. The problem is you're giving interpretations which are not really what they mean. There was a general called Chauvin, and his soldiers believed that he was so great that anyone who was his soldier could outdo any other soldier. So the idea that there are people who can outdo other people is called chauvinist. It has nothing to do with male and female. It evolved from Chauvin soldiers who always believed that they could outdo anyone else. So okay, if you want to say there are special people in the world, yeah, there are special people in the world. There are. There are gifted people. There are special people. Fine. Coming back to here. So if you're asking me halachically, are we allowed to do that? The answer is no. If you're asking me, should I go and tell all those people who do it right now that they shouldn't do it? Then the answer is also no. I don't think it's the right move. I think that those people, that this is their Siddur, they don't know any better, that's fine. Let them stay with that Siddur. Let's educate them in other things. Let them learn that Jews are obligated to marry Jews. Let them learn that there's a mitzvah to eat matzah on Pesach. Let them learn that there are so many mitzvot that they can do, and that's more important right now. Are they saying the right prayer? Okay, so they're saying the wrong prayer right now. But I'm sure their Bon Shalom knows better than me how it's not their fault, and that Hashem has patience for people. So again, your answer is no, that's wrong. Their answer is, I'm not discussing it right now. I'm going to let them grow, and with time they'll get there. Or they won't get there. You know, I also have things that I don't know if I'll ever get to in my growth. Right? We all have things. We all work within our range. So that's...